I'm still going to minister on choose right, make choices, right choices. But I tell you what, Chip Brim blessed us, did he not?
Amen.
And praise, and then on the glory. And I love the way he put the message on the glory. And you are to get that CD. If you weren't here, you're to get that CD of Sunday night. We've heard about the glory and we've done all that, but the scriptures, how he put them and all that, that was just great. And I just love that guy. He's a blessing to Word of Life Family Worship Center and to this country. Amen. And Lord kind of led me along this pathway, and tonight it may be a little different, but anyway, I'm going to stick with my title. In verse 57, and I'm going to be in the New King James, it said, Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. You know, I think a lot of people tell Jesus, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, whatever you want me to do. And he said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus didn't say, woo-hoo, glory to God, I'm so glad I got somebody who's going to follow me. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He probably didn't have no idea what Jesus meant. He didn't go, whoopee, come on, bub, I could use you. You know what Jesus was letting him know? There's going to be a commitment to follow me. It's going to take commitment to follow me. He said, God, tell you what, in the ministry or serving me, I'm telling you what, it's going to be a sacrifice in many times in our lives. Has anybody ever noticed something? Serving God takes a sacrifice. You have to sacrifice some things. But let me tell you, I found this out. God, you never have to sacrifice anything that God don't give you so much more in return. So much more in return. Basically, it's just you're going to have to crucify the flesh. And so then the Bible says, then he said to another, then Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. Listen, he had several people around him. They obviously wanted to be around him and such as that. He said, follow me. And notice what he said. The guy said to Jesus, he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Let me first. I tell you, that right there gets in the way of a lot of things. Let me first. It messes us up sometimes. Let me first. Because when me's first, Jesus is second. Right? When me's first, Jesus is second. Or even third or fourth or fifth or wherever. Sometimes Jesus, you know what totem poles are, don't you? And sometimes he's at the bottom of the totem pole and we at the top. And I'm telling you, he said, listen, let me first go and bury my father. You would think, well, Jesus surely would be kind enough to let this man go bury his dad. My God. But you got to understand, his dad ain't dead yet. He's going to go wait for him to die and then serve Jesus or follow Jesus. Listen, we're talking about choosing, making choices. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. You let the dead bury their own dead. Well, listen, he ain't even died yet. In other words, I'll follow you. Listen to me. No, everybody's going to say, I refuse to get upset with my pastor tonight. I'll follow you at my convenience. I'll follow you when it suits me. In other words, I'm going to go on home and I'm going to wait around for my dad to die. He's not but 50. I don't know how old he was. He might have been on the verge of dying. I don't know. But the thing about it is, he said, I want to follow you, but I got something first. Something before you. Now listen to me. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of things in our lives that's important. Am I right? But the thing about it is, he was wanting to go and wait on something to happen. Rather than Jesus was wanting to say, I want you to come and let's make something happen. And so Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said to the Lord, I will follow you. But here we go again. But let me first go. But let me first. And I tell you what, I found out that there's times that we're going to have to say, well, you know, Jesus, I'll follow you. Just tell me what you want to do. I think that's what God's looking for, isn't it? What would you have me to do? He said, but let me go and just go bid farewell to those who are in my house. Just let me go tell them bye. But we really don't know how long he wanted that farewell to last. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, how many has ever plowed? You know, back then they used oxen or mules or donkeys, I guess, and pulled them old plows like, you know, you hold them handles. My granddad and them used to have one of them old plows like that. But it had a wheel on it and you'd have to push that rascal. You can't push that thing. You kidding me? You go out there and plow that garden. What with that? You got a donkey or something? And I remember so vividly, I don't know why, it just popped up in my mind today as I was reading that scripture. He said, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Have you ever noticed what happens when somebody's plowing, looking back? You ain't no straight path. I remember he had this old Ford tractor. He had this center buster out there. And actually, where I live right now, that pastor out there, and he said, I want you to go out there and I want you to plow that field. I had several acres. I want you to go plow that field. And he told me what to do, showed me what to do. And I put that plow in. And as a kid, I'm looking. See how I'm doing some good work right here, boy. I'm looking back. I'm watching that plow. And by the time I got to the other side of that pasture, that row looked like this. I mean, I was going all over the place, and I said, oh, my gosh, that's terrible. But here's the deal. But what happened was I had set the pattern. And you put that wheel and kind of over, I kind of had a pattern where you put that wheel in where you've been. And then, so that whole pasture looked like this. Because once I got off course, I stayed off course for the duration. And you know what got me off course? Looking back. It got me off course. And I stayed off course the whole time I plowed it. I guess I could have stopped, but I'm a kid. I don't care. I'm just trying to get this thing plowed. And he didn't tell me it had to be straight. He just said, go do it. And you know, he never griped or complained about it because I guess it served the purpose. But Jesus said, listen, if you're looking, here's what happens when we're looking back. We start veering off because if we're looking back, we're not looking at him. Now, Peter experienced something like that walking on the water. But he said, anybody that having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And listen, basically, I believe he's just letting us know, listen, if you're looking back, you can't see where you're going. And if you're looking back, you're getting off course. It may be to the right or to the left, but he said, you're going to have to look straight ahead. You're going to have to stay focused on me. You're going to have to decide, listen, remember that little song, Though None Go With Me? Anybody know what that song? Anybody know it? Can anybody sing it? Though none go with me, still I must follow. Does anybody know that song besides me? I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I must follow. And you know, that choice came on the new birth. That no, if nobody else wants to serve God, and even when Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter telling Peter, he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. After he had denied him three times, he told him all those things. And then he looked over there at John and said, well, Jesus, you're telling me everything I need to do, but what about John? You ain't said nothing to him. He said, don't you worry about him. He said, don't concern about what he's going to do for me. He said, you follow me. You follow me. Don't worry about them. See, if we're not careful, we'll start saying, well, what about them? They're doing this and they're doing that. It seems like God's blessing them. Listen to me. God has a path and a plan for us. And you know, I think that was so important that Chip was talking about those things, that God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan, and it's a good plan. Amen. I said, it's a good plan. And what we need to do is seek the plan of God for our lives. And once we know the plan, we're going to have to put our hand to that plow and go for it. Right? So let's go, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. God, you're good. Though none go with me, still I must follow. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I think if you looked at what's to look at my spiritual life going for the last 30-something years, ever how long I've been serving Jesus, you could probably, I promise you it hadn't been a straight line. There probably been some swerves in there somewhere. Because there's probably some looking back from time to time. There's getting off course a little bit and stuff. But you know, the thing about it is, I didn't try to straighten the rows up in that pasture with that center buster. I didn't try to. I just stayed the course to get the thing done. But you know, one thing about it, we're wise enough to now to see where we got off course to pull ourselves back in. Oh, God's such a good God that He'll look at you and say, looky there. They're getting back on track and I'm going to help them. I'm going to help them get right back to within, right back on their path, right back to their destiny, right back to their purpose, right back to the plan that I have for their lives. Oh, my goodness, that ought to make a shout. Verse 24 says, and in Matthew 16, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You know, if you looked up the word deny, and I looked it in the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, and it says this, to deny oneself is to decline the gratification of appetites or desires, to refrain from or to abstain. He said, you're going to have to learn to deny. So now I believe Jesus is talking a lot about denying our flesh. Denying our flesh. Did you know your flesh will take you crazy places? Your flesh will want you to do stupid stuff. And Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, let him take up his cross, and then let him follow me. You know, there's a following Jesus. Isn't he the head? We're the tail. We're not the head. He's the head. We're the church. Deuteronomy jumped in there in the wrong place. He's the head. We're the body. And he says, you're going to have to deny yourself some things. Did you know, isn't it amazing how when you serve God and you go for God, there's sometimes you just have to put your desires and wants aside. Anybody had to do that besides me? Amen. Man, I've had to do it a lot of times. And you say, well, that's because you're a preacher. It has nothing to do with me being a preacher. There's a lot of things that God's asked me to do that I didn't want to do them. I wanted to do something else, or I had another plan, or I had something else I wanted to do. And I just said, well, if God's asking me to do this, if God's requiring this to me, I have to choose. Did you know I don't have to? Let me just say this real quick. I'll throw this in there because it ain't going to cost you any more money. I don't have to do anything He tells me. I wished I didn't have a choice. Don't mean to be ugly. I wished I didn't have a choice. I wished I would just automatically start following. Do everything He says to do just automatically. But everything He says for me to do, He gives me a choice whether I want to do it or not. And did you know never one time when I had not did it, and there's been times I haven't done it, did He knock me upside my head, beat me down, kick me out, and say, I have nothing to do with you again. You know what He does? He deals with my heart by the Holy Spirit. It's called conviction. And He starts dealing with, you know what God's trying to do, Elijah? You know what He's trying to do when I get off course? Get me back on it. And some people, it may take years to get them back on course. Some people months, some people hours, some people minutes. It just depends on the person. Because some people are hard-headed. Nobody here. I have been a few times. So I don't know if she's ever called me hard-headed. Probably so in the many years we've been married, or stubborn. Maybe stubborn would be a better word for it. And stubborn like that. But you know, the older I get, and I'm still a young guy, understand. Don't be considering myself old right now. But the older I get, It seems like the more I want to please him, I don't mean I didn't want to please him prior, but it seems like you look at life now and say, you know, there's nothing as important as doing what he wants me to do. Huh? There's nothing more important than that. Now, there's a lot of young folk in here, but still there's nothing more important for you than to listen to God and say, God, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. And he lets you know real quick. He said, you know, it could get tough sometimes. In fact, you'll have tribulation in this world. What it says, all who choose to live godly will suffer persecution. And so he says, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses a life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And, you know, it's amazing. Jesus said, the most important part about you is your soul or your spirit. Or your spiritual well-being. We don't look at it that way. In fact, when I was a kid, I didn't know I had a spirit. Was anybody thinking about you being a spirit when you was a kid? Some of y'all might, because you might have been raised up in church. I wasn't. So I didn't know nothing about a spirit or a soul or a body. Huh? And I found out reading the Bible, he wants us to be complete spirit, soul, and body. And so I didn't think about no soul. I didn't think about no spirit. I did think about my body. Because I just did what it wanted to do. But the thing about it is, now that I'm a born-again believer and you're a born-again believer, I think the choices that's presented to us makes us sit, to me anyway, makes me think more about what choice I'm going to make. Because when I was a kid, I just did anything. Huh? Growing up, I just did anything, went anywhere, anything that come my way. I didn't question it. I just went and did it and maybe suffered the consequences later. But the thing about it is I gave it no thought. Since I've been born again now and I know that I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a physical body, and now I know just from reading the Word of God and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what I loved about what Chip, he preached to me in my office before he come out here and preached. And I mean, I'm not talking about he sat in a chair and preached. He walked in front of my desk and preached to me. And I took up an offering for him in there. And so he was preaching, and he was talking about in 1 John where it says, our fellowship, that you'd have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Son and the Father and the Son. And he said, that word fellowship, he said, listen, that word fellowship means partnership. He said, a fellowship, people can fellowship them all, but God wants us to be in partnership with him. Why? Because a partner gets all the benefits of the partner. And so that means we get all the benefits that God has as our partner. So God just don't want us fellowshipping with him, but he does want us fellowshipping. He wants us to partner with him and be his partner in life. And so, you know, when we think about life, we're faced with situations. We're faced with choices every single day. I'm telling you, every day that we live, we're faced with choices, and many choices are going to benefit us and many choices are not going to benefit us. Am I right? There's some choices we make that it's really not a matter which way we choose. Because it's not a matter of life and death. But there's other choices we make that is a matter of life and death. And I'm telling you, if you've got the Holy Ghost and you're born again, did you know the Holy Ghost will sit there and speak to you on what choice to make? Yeah. Isn't that what he said in Deuteronomy? I put for you life and death, blessing and curses, therefore choose life. Therefore choose life. I'm giving you a choice, but I want you to choose life. Is that right? I'm giving you a choice, but I want you to choose life. You can choose death. You can choose curses that come with it, or you can choose life and the blessings. And oh, I want you to choose life. And there's a lot of people, they choose to make the wrong choice. Now, I've made a lot of wrong choices in my life. And thank God I'm still alive. Did you know, obviously, the choices that you have made, bad or good, didn't kill you. That means you still get to turn and make the right choices. Huh? And so I've looked back at so many times and I thought, you know, I shouldn't even be alive today. I shouldn't have never lived to even be a Christian. Based on the fact what happened in my life prior to becoming one. That's what I mean. Because I never met Jesus. And listen, I've been in major accidents. Major, you know, the main one I talked about was the motorcycle wreck that they didn't give me any chance of living. And that was when I was 17, maybe 18, turning. But my goodness, I've had more accidents. We was coming home from Louisiana. A bunch of us guys worked offshore in Louisiana, coming home on Olathe Road, 937, the road I live on. And a friend of mine was driving, and we'd drive all night long, been driving. We was wiped out. I mean, talking about drinking, drunk, and all that. And he missed a corner, and he flipped that car end over end five times and ended up in the bottom of a creek. Every single one of us walked out of that accident, and the only thing I had scratched on my knee because we broke the glass and I crawled out and cut my knee. I'd have been dead. I'd have went to hell. I've drove home before, and when I got home, look under there, and there's limbs and everything else under the vehicle. So where'd you drive? Through the woods, I guess. I don't know. I've rode with a friend of mine, James. He had an old red truck. We're driving down the road, just driving down the road, and he was going for a cigarette and flipped that thing right there. Me and him was riding, flipped the truck right there. You said, why? Listen, we never even gave a thought about what God had for our lives. And did you, listen to me here, this I'm going to blow you away. God had a plan for me then. That blows your mind. God had a plan for me in my wildest, craziest years. He had a plan for my life. And do you know what that plan was? Well, I'm in part of it right now. You talk about freaking me out. If somebody would have walked up to me, Charlotte, and said, you know, you're going to be a preacher one day. I said, oh, you're crazy as a bat. A preacher, I don't even go to church. A preacher, I don't even want to go to church. A preacher, what would I preach? And then here I am. Standing in a pulpit, been doing it for 30-something years, ministering the gospel when the devil tried to kill me time and time and time and time again. You said, why did he do it? I don't know. All I know is God gave me a choice one day. I mean, a choice that I heard and knew it was from a supreme being. And he gave me that same choice between life and death. And here's what he said. He said, here's what he did. He presented himself to me through a message in Waco, Texas, from Dallas Home and Praise, and presented me with a message. I went, and he gave me the opportunity to bow my knee before him, gave me a choice to pick life that night, and I did not pick life that night. I went home that night. And I tell you what, God dealt with me and dealt with me and dealt with me, and I put it off 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 and I put it off. And one day I walked out in the pasture, and y'all've heard my story, but I love telling it just like Paul liked telling his. And I walked out there trying to fish, and I'm telling you something, God started dealing with my heart, and I bowed my knee out there in that pasture that day, and I said, Jesus, I choose you. If you are real, I want you to come into my life and change me. And by golly, he did it. I said, he did it. Of all the wrong choices, all the mistakes and everything I made the right choice that day, March the 5th, 1978. I gave my heart to Jesus and made the choice for life. And I decided to follow him. Amen. I went and got me a Bible, and I opened that Bible, and I started reading that Bible. It meant no more to me the first time and the second time because I couldn't understand nothing. But I kept reading it. Linda bear witness. I would open that big old Bible up. And I'd read that Bible and I'd ask her questions. And I'd ask her questions. And I'd ask her questions. And I was wanting to know this. And I was wanting to know that. And I was wanting to know this. And I kept reading it. And I was still working offshore. I took me a Bible out there. Everywhere I worked, I used to stick a New Testament in my pocket. Everywhere I stopped, I'd be reading that New Testament. I'd be reading about Jesus. I'd be reading about God. Didn't know a whole lot about what I was reading. But something started happening inside of me. Here's the deal. You know, everything, I'm not saying I've made all the right choices since then because I haven't. But I tell you what, the more I fall in love with you, the more closer I get to God, the less wrong choices I make. Amen. I said the less wrong choices I make. Is anybody with me? Aren't you glad the more you grow in God, the less wrong choices you make? Woo! Choose right! It's our choice. Put our hands to the plow and don't look back. Oh, but Pastor, I need to look back. No, you don't. I want to look back. No, you don't. You know, if I'd have got on that tractor and waited to look back when I got to the other end, it'd have been a whole lot straighter path. But there ain't no sense in looking back when you got to the other end. You already made it. God, you're good. Father, we're a privileged people to have a loving, caring Heavenly Father that has given us the ability to choose. God, we're glad that we get to make the choices we make. And God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's in our lives to guide us in the right choices. Now, Father, I know there's many times we make wrong choices. But God, you're a forgiving God. One thing about you is you will get us back on the right path if we ask you, if we let you. God, we don't have to go down dead-end roads. We don't have to fall in the ditch on this side and that side. But we can hook up with you. God, every one of us in this house that's been born again, we have the guide inside. We have the one in us that can direct our decisions and our choices if we will let you. So, Father, my prayer for myself and for everybody here, that God will choose right. That we'll choose right. When we get up in the morning and the decisions we have to make, the choices we have to make, God, that we'll make the right ones. That we'll be led by your Spirit. We're so glad that you're for us and not against us. You're on our side. And we thank you for that. Father, there's people in here that we shouldn't even be alive today. But they are. Because you have a plan. And you have a purpose for their life. You love them so much that they're still here today to make the right choices concerning their life and their destiny. We love you so very, very much. And thank you for our life. Come on, just lift your hands to heaven and bless Him. Thank Him for your life. Thank Him for what He's done and what He's doing. Father, we thank You that we chose You. We chose You. We could have chose death, but we chose life. We could have chose darkness, but we chose light. We choose You, God. We choose Your leading and Your guiding. We choose Your direction for our lives. To do what You have for us and what You have in store. God, I pray right now for every one of us to have an ear to hear what You have to say to us. So we'll have the knowledge to make the right choices. What a good God You are. We love You, Jesus. 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 Come on, just love Him. We love you, Jesus. If you're just thankful for your life, you're to be thanking Him right now. Oh, I thank you for my life, God. I thank you for my life. Oh, I thank you for the choice I made way back when to make you my Lord and Savior. I thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow, God is good, isn't he? Thank you, Jesus. You know, the one good thing about God is this. It says we have an advocate with the Father. That we sin, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll think, God don't care about me no more. You know, I blew it too many times. Listen, I'd hate to know I had to go back and try to take count of all the times I blew it, even as a Christian. But God still loves me. And if you will realize that, God still loves you. And he cares about you. You can get right back and get that line straight again. Amen. Isn't God good?